From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Labor Day is almost upon us. In some parts of the country, school has already begun. The routine of workaday real life lurks just beyond a three-day weekend. Unless, of course, your workaday real life is spent at a summer tourist attraction, in which case the autumn doldrums are about to set in. We're going to check in now on some tourist attractions to hear whether in this summer that is not a recession, but not a season of rising employment either, a summer somewhat removed from the agony of September 11th, 2001, but not completely free of the fears it engendered, whether this has been a boom or bust season or something in between. And we start with Todd Pack, who's business reporter with the Orlando Sentinel. Todd, Orlando is full of big tourist attractions. What kind of a summer has it been?
It has been an okay summer. It hasn't been spectacularly good. It hasn't been spectacularly awful. Arrivals at the airport are down a little bit. Hotel occupancy is up a smidgen. The theme parks are doing pretty well, Disney, Universal, and SeaWorld, partly because, in large part, because they have been marketing more to folks who live in Florida and folks who can drive here in about a half day.
But you're also seeing a fair amount of tourism in Florida, I gather, from out of the country.
Well, we're seeing some. International travel to the U.S. in general and into Florida in particular is soft right now. I'm hearing from some of the attractions anecdotally that traffic from the U.K. is coming back. The U.K. is the number one international market in Orlando. About a third of all international visitors to Orlando come from the U.K.
Which was better for the sector in Orlando, July or August?
July was apparently very strong. Universal and SeaWorld say they had record Julys. I've talked to some smaller attractions, some miniature golf courses even say they had just a really strong July. Now, part of that is that summer here sort of ramps up in June as school lets out. Families don't really get on the road until late June. And in Florida, one of the issues has been school starting so early, beginning of August. So there's a ramping down in August.
But you say there's a backup for tee times at the mini golf courses down there in Orlando.
That's right.
Todd Pack of the Orlando Sentinel, thanks a lot for talking with us.
My pleasure.
And now to Lake Placid, New York, where Steve Pyatt is communications manager for the Lake Placid Essex County Visitors Bureau. What kind of a season has it been for Lake Placid?
Well, it's been down a little bit. We have to keep in mind we're comparing that with a really big year of 2002. Summer, June, July, August are traditionally our busiest months. Our July data has indicated that we will be down about 10 or 12%. But we can attribute that almost exclusively to the loss of the ESPN Great Outdoor Games. It's a four-day made-for-TV event that we've hosted for the last 3 years before it moved to the Reno Tahoe area this year. So that was a big loss. Events come and go, and we are a big events-based tourism economy.
What do you find about how far in advance people book nowadays for a vacation in Lake Placid?
In general terms, what we're hearing from the lodging properties is that advance bookings are down, and there's a lot of last-minute travel. But you know, we're within a day's drive of about 75 million people, and we draw heavily on that.
Some of those people are Canadians. Their dollar isn't doing quite so well.
Well, it took a bump this summer, and it was stronger than it has been in a long time. And our golf resorts indicated to us that they were seeing an increase in Canadian visitors, which was pretty encouraging.
Steve Pyatt, who's communications manager for the Lake Placid Essex County Visitors Bureau in upstate New York. Steve Pyatt, thank you.
Thank you.
And now we turn to Brad Jones, who is at Mackinac Island in Michigan at the Mackinac Area Visitors Bureau. Brad Jones, what kind of a summer have you had there?
We've had an interesting summer business-wise. To date, we're down about 3% in revenue and visitor spending. And that was shocking to us because we thought this summer was going to be the summer that people stayed closer to home. And we're traditionally a stay-at-home Midwestern summer resort.
So this year, hotels doing all right?
Hotels are doing fine. It's the attractions, I would call them second and third tier attractions, and also retail. you know, there's less discretionary income out there, so we kind of anticipated that.
Are this summer's visitors spending money elsewhere on restaurants or other attractions?
They are. Our restaurants are telling us that it's been more of a Big Mac year rather than a prime rib year. There a lot of people are dining in family establishments rather than white tablecloth. But the middle of the road seems to be what's been most affected by the economy, at least this year.
And one of my colleagues says I should ask, how is the fudge selling at Reba's?
Very well. Fudge is one of our icons here. Fudge and whitefish, they always sell well, no matter what.
It's a great combination, actually.
Yeah.
Mr. Jones, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Brad Jones of the Mackinac Area Visitors Bureau in Michigan. And we turn now to Bruce Brossman, who is at the Grand Canyon, where he is Director of Marketing for Zantara Parks and Resorts at the Canyon. How are things doing there?
Well, actually, we've had a very good year. You know, we anticipated that the primary market would be domestic drive vacations, and that's pretty much what's happened throughout most of the summer. We had a little swale into June and July, but then very strong through most of July and through August. So we've been relieved to see that those projections came true because they helped make up for the lack of foreign visitation, which we have always been a very strong destination for foreign visitors.
Now, you handle marketing for Zantara at the Grand Canyon, but Zantara is at many other national parks. What's the scuttlebutt? What are you hearing from Mount Rushmore or Yellowstone? Who's having a good summer and who isn't?
Well, Yellowstone, I know, got off to a bit of a soft start compared to last year. They were very strong last year, both Mount Rushmore and Yellowstone, as sort of a patriotic trip, I think, after 9/11, Yellowstone being the first national park and Mount Rushmore, of course, being a very patriotic place to go visit. This year, I think they rebounded and they're having a strong summer, but last year particularly, they were very strong.
And when people come to, say, the Grand Canyon, is there any trend in terms of what they are buying or not buying once they're there?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. We did notice that. We've sold more rooms this year than we did last year by quite a bit, at least 5%, probably higher than that. But revenues didn't necessarily track with that, particularly retail revenue. The foreign visitor tends to spend a bit more and buy higher ticket items and perhaps eat out more often, and we really did see that. The American tourist, I think, a little more brown bagging, a little more cooler in the back of the car for the kids, a meal or two out, but they still are buying rooms. So it does have to do with the market and who's coming, definitely.
Well, Bruce Brossman, Director of Marketing for Zantara Parks and Resorts at the Grand Canyon, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Well, as we've heard, the Grand Canyon is a place the tourists drive to. We turn now, though, to David Bratton, who is research manager at the San Francisco Convention and Visitors Bureau. And Mr. Bratton, I guess San Francisco is a place that people fly to if they're going to visit.
Yeah, San Francisco is historically and still, of course, a air market. You know, we're geographically isolated from other major metropolitan areas, a little bit different than a city like Baltimore, which is close to D.C. and Philadelphia and New York and places like that where people can drive in.
What's the story on who is coming to visit San Francisco this year as opposed to past years?
Well, we think we have more domestic visitation this year. Last year was a really bad year for us for overseas travel. And this year, what we've seen so far is the first part of the year, the first 3 months, we kind of felt like we were catching up, having a fairly decent year, but in April and March, overseas arrivals out at SFO plummeted, and we're down for the year about 15%.
Fewer arrivals from Asia?
Fewer arrivals from Asia, yes, absolutely. Asia was probably the driving force behind that. Europe was more of a steady state for the year. Asia's down about 25%.
How does 2003 compare with, say, the year 2000, if we look back before 9/11, when the economy was doing a bit better? How different is it?
Yeah, well, you know, if you talk to anybody here in the industry back in 2000, the running joke was that these are the good old days. You know, 2000 was an extraordinary year for us. We had about 17.3 million visitors come to San Francisco, and they spent about $7 billion here in the city. Last year, that plummeted. We only had 13.7 million visitors, and they were down. Their spending was down to under $6 billion. This year is we're experiencing a similar first half to what we saw last year. So not a pretty picture.
David Bratton at the San Francisco Convention and Visitors Bureau, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
All in all, not a bad year for the nation's tourism industry. The bottom lines are up on average between 2 and 3%. We checked in with a couple of other destinations, and we learned that the weather was a big factor in keeping folks away from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and Ocean City, Maryland. Neither had a bad year. Business was fine, up a bit, but nothing the vendors would write home about.